But then there's a wonderful formal phenomenon that we have to talk about. What happens when you introduce a singular idea, depart from it? The ear demands thematic closure. Let me demonstrate this. Let me play you, since we're talking about French stuff, let's play a French folk song. And I'm going to play an opening phrase, then I'll play a slightly contrasting phrase, then I'll play a closed cadence, and you tell me if this piece sounds like it's over, and if not, why not? Now, I told you I'd play a phrase and a slightly contrasting phrase, and that I would end on a closed cadence, which I did. Does that piece feel like it's over? No. Why not? Because once we've heard a melodic idea at the beginning of a piece, it becomes mom. We're like little baby geese. Whatever our ears hear first is mother. I hope our ears don't think that the tire of a Chevy truck is mom, because we're not going to last very long as baby geese. But back to our French folk song. What we've got here is a need for thematic closure. We need to come back where we started. And now we feel a sense of closure. Listen, it's this idea of thematic closure that's operative in minuet and trio. If we introduce a first minuet, that's mom. That's home base. Melodically, thematically, that's where we start. If, in order to lengthen this piece, we immediately play a new minuet, a contrasting minuet, a departure from our opening minuet, our ears will demand that we return to the original at the end of the piece. So what have we got? We've got a structure that is ABA. First minuet, second minuet, and then return to the first minuet. Idea, departure, return. Minuet 1, minuet 2, minuet 1. Now, during the Baroque era, it was traditional to write that second minuet for a reduced orchestration. Typical, if you were orchestrating it, to orchestrate it for three instruments as opposed to the more grandly orchestrated first minuet. So the middle dance, the second minuet, came to be called the trio because it consisted of three parts and, when orchestrated for a large ensemble, three instruments. So this musical form, minuet, trio, minuet, is actually minuet, 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 except the middle minuet is a contrast. By the way, obviously, there is not truth in advertising. We should call this form minuet, trio, minuet, and that would describe A, B, A. Statement, departure, return. But we don't. We just call this form minuet and trio. The da capo, the return to the top, the third minuet is understood as being there. So please understand, when we say minuet and trio, we're talking about this three-part form. First minuet, contrasting minuet, and then a return to the original minuet. I used a very important word just now, and I should go over it again. I called the return the da capo, because that's what they called it in the minuet. Da capo means back to the cap, back to the top, and that's what the last minuet was, a da capo. So please let us understand that shorter dances, like minuet and gavotte, were paired with a like dance, and having heard the contrasting dance, we return to the original dance to create a three-part A, B, A form. Now, due to the influence of Louis XIV and his court, minuet became the most popular Baroque social dance. As I mentioned in an earlier lecture, and I would go back over it now, Louis XIV packed some pretty substantial girth. He was not wont to move very quickly on the dance floor. So it is likely that he liked the minuet for two reasons. First, it's moderate to slow in tempo. Second, it's grand and magnificent in mood. Well, I am grand and magnificent in mood. I am the king, and I don't have to move too quickly. So, the perfect dance for both my body and my soul. Let us listen to a Baroque minuet written by Jean-Baptiste Lully, a gentleman we've talked about before, and again, I'll talk about for just a moment. In a moment.